Home with Lucy Milazzo.
Across our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Lucy Milazzo on this Home Monday edition. The sunshine is pouring through the window. Nice and warm in here. A little bit too warm. But we are joined now by my first guest of the afternoon, James Riley, who is a Fellow of English at Girton College. And he has just published a new book about the 1970s. It's called Wellbeings. Good afternoon, James.
Hi, Lucy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for popping in and having a chat with us about this book. I'm really intrigued by it because, as we were saying, on this edition of Home, at least, we do focus a little bit on, you know, keeping things mindful and peaceful. And so I was very, very interested to hear about your book. And, well, tell us a little bit about it, really. We've got like a good 5 minutes or so. We'll chat more after the news, but give us a sense of just what the book is all about.
Well, thanks, Lucy, for having me on. And good afternoon, everyone listening. Thanks very much for your company. The book's called Wellbeings. It's ostensibly a cultural history of the 1970s, and it's something of a follow-up to another book that I wrote called The Bad Trip, which was a cultural history of the late 1960s. And what I was doing in that book was arguing against the idea that the 60s ended in some kind of catastrophe or everything breaking down, which sometimes the 1960s are represented as such. You have things like the Manson murders and the Rolling Stones at Altamont.
All these sort of weird, US assassinations.
Yeah, exactly.
All the conspiracy theories, yeah.
Very much so. There's a tendency to see it as a kind of a slip to the dark side towards the end of the decade. So I was sort of telling that story from a cultural historical perspective, but also interrogating it a little bit. And what I thought was one of the most mysterious and beguiling of all those stories was the idea that the hippies and the so-called counterculture, at the end of the 60s, they all just drift off into self-regard and they stop being political and end up in California retreat centres thinking yeah. about themselves, or they just float off into suburban complacency. Or psychedelic rock becomes prog rock and it becomes bloated and everyone forgets about politics. So that whole kind of retreat narrative I was really interested in, both in terms of the actuality of it, but also the culture of it and the films and music, etc. So when this second book came along, I thought, that's what I want to focus on. I want to do a book-length story about the 1970s and really kind of do a deep dive into what's been called the culture of narcissism of the 1970s
yeah. people
and the kind of selfishness of it, the self-regard. What is that all about? Is there a story to tell about a rise of interest in self-help, self-therapy? And there certainly was kind of very particular outposts that came to prominence in the 1970s, like the Eslin Institute in Big Sur in California, which was this sort of pioneering retreat and meditation center where a lot of the key countercultural intellectuals and poets ended up spending a lot of time there. And there were lots of other projects as well. It was the decade of people becoming interested in alternative religions and gurus and yoga and also at the birth of what we now regard as wellness.
Mm-hmm.
We think about wellness today and we might think about it as being a sort of elitist celebrity culture,
yep.
expensive products for people who are already well, right?
Right.
But in the 1970s, wellness had a particular meaning. It was linked to a number of practitioners, and there was a much more of a sort of politics connected to it, much more of a social agenda connected to it. So within the context of the book, I became really interested in telling that story and exploring the culture of it and exploring how you see shades of it in music, film and other kinds of popular cultural artifacts to sort of unpack a certain image of the 70s against this view that it was all about complacency and selfishness and self-regard and forget about politics and look after yourself.
I see. So you mean some of the, you know, let's say the adults in the room, they thought the kids were just, you know, oh, they didn't want to work hard, didn't want to do that stuff, mm-hmm. and all they want to do is, like, stare in the mirror and see into their own souls. That kind of, there's a bit of, like, throwing away.
There's a bit of throwing away that, because, I mean, what you described there could be a sort of shorthand way of describing, yeah. like, LSD experimentation, which obviously saw a lot of towards the end of the 60s. This is more of an emergence of a kind of health-oriented culture, which was trying to deal with things like social anxiety, stress, notions of the nervous breakdown become very prominent in the period.
And this is post the 60s, where everyone was quite freaked out, let's say.
Yeah, post the 1960s. So as you move into the 1970s, a lot of these ideas and institutions and projects, which had a presence in the 1960s, they became a lot more high profile. They became a lot more prominent within the culture. There was a widespread movement towards, say, forms of alternative religion. And it is almost as if a lot of the things that in the 1960s were somewhat underground, fringe culture, mm-hmm. marginal, experimental, extreme, if you like, across the 1970s, particularly in America and also certain sectors of the UK, they became more and more almost mainstream, accommodating. Mm. By 1976, there's a very interesting book called The Aquarian Conspiracy by Marilyn Ferguson, and there's loads of statistics in there about talking about the prevalence of yoga, the prevalence of jogging, the prevalence of keep fit, all these kind of things in terms of looking after the mind, the body, and the spirit become almost mainstream, become almost commercialized, but they have their roots in a very particular kind of post-war thinking, which has got a very particular set of ideas connected to it, and that's what I wanted to look into and research and talk about in this book.
I see. Fascinating. Let's stop there for a moment. We will definitely pick up more on this conversation after the news at 5. Before we get there, we'll stick in a little bit more music. This one from John Lennon. I mean, he was very much into this whole movement, right?
He bookends the book.
Perfect. Well, in that case, we're definitely playing it. John Lennon with Beautiful Boy. Taking us up to the news, you're listening to Cambridge 105 Radio.
Cambridge 105 Radio.